This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Well, it ain't Margaritaville, but it sure is nice. The Shenandoah Valley, just a hop, jump, and a skip over the Blue Ridge Mountains. Chris Graham is the founder and editor of the Augusta Free Press over in beautiful downtown Waynesboro, online at AugustaFreePress.com. And he joins us on occasion with a Valley update. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Good. You never watched Dharma and Greg. I'm surprised.
I never saw it. What's it about?
This couple met, got married the same night they met, and they were wacky afterwards, you know. First year or so, it was a good show, and then like most things, it went downhill after you got used to the shtick.
Yeah, it got a little old. It was on for a while, though, 5 years on television.
Yeah. So I watched the first year. I could give you the bare details of what happened, but after that, it kind of went away.
So, let me ask you right off the bat, is there any new news in the movie theater front? Augusta County looking at, how many did we figure at one time? How many new movie theaters? One, two?
There were three in the works, two in Waynesboro within a mile of each other, and then one over in Stanton, actually technically in Augusta County, but just outside of Stanton city limits off of Interstate 81. The word is that things are now bogged down in the red tape process. And I say bogged down. Actually, the one project, the proposed Visual Light Cinemas in Waynesboro and Ludewitt Boulevard, is the one of the three that is moving along the quickest. It did not have to go through a rezoning, and actually already had both a willing developer and a willing movie theater company. And so that one's is last update. It's still on track. It's now just moving through the permitting process with building and zoning. So that one is at last indication, still on schedule. The plans are to move ground here pretty soon, actually, and then be open next November.
And that's the one over by the Lowe's, right?
Yeah, behind the Lowe's on Ludewitt Boulevard between the Main Street and Rosser Avenue corridors there, and pretty good location and open location, lots of parking, everything else. I mean, everything was perfect with the location as far as the development process went, and it was really just a matter of getting together the developer and the movie company. The guy who owns the Visual Light Cinemas, Adam Greenbaum, also owns Vinegar Hill over in Charlottesville.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had been searching for a couple years for a partner in the Waynesboro area. Waynesboro, a city of 24,000 residents, does not have its own movie theater after the Wayne Theater closed about 10 years ago, and so a market ripe for the picking, it was hard to put some people together to make this happen, and it seems like that one's coming along pretty well.
Have you seen that proposal? How many screens do you think?
I think it's 10 screens, and
10?
They're talking about
wow.
Stadium seating, and I think they call it the Omniplex feel, where they can do some live concerts and live events, talk about a Super Bowl party there where you can watch the Super Bowl live on a huge screen. And
cool.
So lots of bells and whistles with this particular project.
Yeah, so stadium seating in a new movie theater in Waynesboro, and the ground could turn any day. That is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, the projections are ground turning. The last I'd heard, and this is a couple weeks ago, that by the end of the month, that was talk. Now, that might have been a little bit ambitious, but certainly before the winter, there's the expectation that ground will be moving. And, yeah, they're talking about being open early November 2010 in time for the new, who was the new movie he wanted to be out for? The guy who directed all the Hobbit movies, he's a big fan of a particular genre of movies, and was looking forward to early November of next year being out and ready to go with that Christmas movie season. So all projections are that they're right on track with that.
So the guy, I know who you're talking, I don't know his name, but glasses and lots of big black hair and...
Brett Hayes is the developer. And Adam Greenbaum. Oh yeah, you're talking about
the director.
The director, yeah. And why can't I think of this now? This is
I'm giving away
what I don't watch in terms of movies.
Is it a new Hobbit movie or something?
Yeah, it might be something.
Lord of the Rings.
I'll get 10 emails after this is over with and say, Chris, can't believe you didn't know that. But you knew Dharma and Greg, but you didn't know this.
Chris Graham is the founder and editor at the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. What is all this about something in downtown Stanton? What's going on over there?
Red Brick District is the going on there. The city getting together with a private group of arts and culture themed businesses and the arts sector in downtown. Actually, the initiation came from that sector. A number of people getting together from the American Shakespeare Center and the arts galleries downtown, the Stanton Augusta Arts Center and others, about a year and a half ago, to form a working committee to look at ways that the city could promote better its arts and cultural offerings. And out of that group, about 9 months into their work, they had gotten to a point where they said, well, you know what, it'd be good for us to ask the city if they would go to bat for us in Richmond to get some enabling legislation that would allow us to create an arts and culture district downtown. And they went to the General Assembly. The General Assembly, in fact, not only giving Stanton that power, but actually creating blanket legislation that gives all localities in Virginia the ability to create arts and culture districts, sort of like you can create an enterprise zone or in downtowns or that kind of thing. And it's a similar concept. Now, there's no money tied to it from the state or from the locality, but now there's the marketing potential. That's the first layer of what the Stanton Red Brick District is going to represent. The groups have pulled some resources together to be able to put out a brochure, and they're going to be doing a website and all these things to better promote Stanton's downtown, not just statewide, but also regionally and up and down the Eastern Seaboard. You know, there's so much to offer there with the Shakespeare Center, with the Stonewall Jackson Hotel and Conference Center, which hosts a number of big regional and national events, and of course all the contiguous businesses downtown, that there's a lot to market, and really just putting it under an umbrella, and the Red Brick District is an umbrella through which to market all that. It's a pretty solid idea from an economic standpoint.
Now, it doesn't mean tearing up the asphalt and putting in red brick streets, though, does it?
Well, you know, they've actually, not red brick streets, but the red brick sidewalks, with the work that they did dating back 10 years ago now, the city initiating what were called the big digs, taking off from the marketing concept that Boston used, I think it was, when they did their big digs a few years ago. They replaced the sidewalks with brick sidewalks. So downtown already has the sidewalk appeal of a red brick. And so, no, not tearing up the streets to do that. I think there would be lots of wailing, consternation, and gnashing of teeth amongst downtown business owners after dealing with the big digs for a few years. But they already have a lot of that. Of course, anybody listening who has been to Stanton knows the architecture, the Victorian architecture that's still in place there, dating back to the late 19th century. They already have so many advantages in terms of what they have there in place and the building stock and building inventory. Really, the enhancements with the sidewalks a few years ago just added to that. And so they have a lot to work with in that respect. But no. Don't get anybody alarmed. I'm not going to be tearing the streets up for the next few years to add anything else, as far as I know right now, anyway.
Am I the only one that thinks it's silly that a city has to go to the state government and ask for permission to advertise that you have an arts and culture district?
Well, yeah, they could have done a ad hoc thing in Stanton. That what they wanted was enabling legislation that. Not so it doesn't just stop with advertising an arts and culture district. They putting in place, again, with no money tied from the state or the locality at this point, they really just wanted to be able to put in place the concept of an enterprise zone type thing that down the road they won't have to go back. Now we've created Stanton, you know, the Red Brick District. Now we want to do some things with economic incentive packages, and now we need to go to the General Assembly to do that. And what happens if the General Assembly puts a red brick up to their efforts and that kind of thing? So they wanted to go ahead and have it in place at the beginning. It's not quite that they needed the marketing, the authority from the General Assembly to do a marketing effort, but the marketing effort is the first thing. And actually, you know, from a perspective right now, with the economy being what it is and local government and state government funding being what it is, they don't need to go ask for money, so they're not asking for money. But yeah, I think down the road there is an anticipation that there will be some incentive money tied to this.
So maybe there could be like special tax breaks that Stanton could offer businesses to locate in that zone.
There's that. There's just like an enterprise zone works. Yeah, you can, you know, qualifying businesses could certainly qualify for tax breaks, tax incentives if they move there or if they expand there. I mean, they're, you know, really, and what the enabling legislation does is allows the locality to define for themselves. You know, if Stanton in the case here or any other locality that would want to go this route, they could. You know, tailor their own incentives to meet their individual needs. So that's actually, you know, it's a battle at Stanton fought that has ramifications statewide.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, looking at Charlottesville, the downtown mall could be an arts and culture district.
Oh, no question. And I think this is something that really downtowns across the state should be able to take advantage of. And it's really just a matter of wanting to organize and begin to do that and have the local board of supervisors or local city council, in the case of places where there, you know, cities that want to take advantage of this, they can just go to their local government and do this now. And it's that was some forward thinking on the part of those who fought this battle to make it not just apply to Stanton, because certainly we see this kind of legislation come out of Richmond that can be very tailored to one specific locality, and then you got to go refight the battle if you want to do it somewhere else. This was something that has application statewide already. So
if it
works in one place, it can work. You can have a model that can work elsewhere as well.
We are getting our Valley update from Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, life in Augusta, Waynesboro, and Stanton. Got a couple minutes left. Give us a quick update about the politics of what's going on in the Valley right now.
Well, two House of Delegates races that we're covering closely here in Waynesboro and Stanton and Augusta County area. In the 20th District, Dickie Bell, the Republican who's replacing Chris Saxman, the incumbent Republican on the ballot after Chris Saxman announced in July that he would be stepping down and retiring from politics, running against Eric Curran less than 2 weeks ago in that race, of course, as we all are on all the state races here. It would appear that Dickie Bell has the advantage. That district was created in 2001 by the General Assembly out of the Valley after population growth here, really to be a Republican district. And Chris Saxman and his races there never got less than 65% of the vote. It's hard to figure that Dickie Bell wouldn't also get 65% of the vote in that district or somewhere in that area. But, it's an open seat technically, so there's Democrats have certainly been putting a lot of effort into that. In the 25th district, Steve Landis, the incumbent Republican, has won seven terms. He's only had one Democratic opponent in those seven races. He has a Democratic opponent this year in Greg Merrow, a Navy veteran and optometrist in Rockingham County. And he seems to be a formidable challenger. Again, it's a district that is pretty favorable generally to Republicans, but it has changed in the last 10 years. In the 2001 redistricting, Crozet was added over to the district, so kind of jumps over the mountain a bit there. Crozet, with its at least its vote totals in last year's elections in favor strongly of Barack Obama and Mark Warner, would seem to be a little bit of a Democratic enclave within that district and maybe could be a base of support for Greg Merrow. We've seen no polls in this race, but I know that both sides are working hard, and I think the Republicans are working hard knowing that they have a pretty good challenge on their hands.
Chris Graham, the AugustaFreePress.com is the website. Chris, thank you as always. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.